thank you that you wish to speak to us. You wish to teach us. You wish to touch us. You wish, Father, to work by your Spirit, your word into our lives and into our hearts. Father, I pray that we would believe, that your word will be sown deep in our hearts, hearts that are prepared to receive tonight. Lord, we look to you for that change, for that mighty touch, Father, now, in Jesus' name. Jesus' mighty name. Well, I've got a teaching here I believe the Lord is giving, and this may be over a course of a few weeks. I don't know how long, but God knows. But I have a title for this. It's a reasonably long one, but I will give this out. Will we let the Holy Spirit build Christ's body through us? Will we let the Holy Spirit build Christ's body through us? And that's what we're going to look at. Because Christ's body is a revelation to the world. It is a light that is set on a hill. And Christ's body can only be and function as disciples of Christ, filled, baptized with the Holy Spirit, yielding over to the Spirit, can we, through lives that are yielded, allow the Spirit of God to build in this last day. We know that the bride is making herself ready, and God is equipping the bride in order to do that, through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, through setting us into a local body, a body of believers baptized into the true unity and oneness of the Spirit, remembering, of course, that God places the doorway into the kingdom of heaven in his church, in the body. But unless we are yielding to the Spirit, God won't build his body. Now, of course, he's decreed that she will make herself ready, but the point is that those who are not yielding will not come into the fullness. And the fullness is an experience of the body of Christ functioning in her fullness before she's raptured. And how is he going to do that? He's going to do that through you and me. And everyone who loves Jesus and is prepared to go all the way, he is going to build his work, his body through believers. Revelation and understanding of the church, the apostolic church, and we know the gifts that he sets in the church. We read in Corinthians 12, 13 and 14 how he sets the gifts into the church, each member and so forth. And of course in the book of Ephesians we see the mystery unveiled in these last days of his body being revealed and so on. So we have much about the church and her function. We see, of course, in the book of Acts how through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the 120 in the upper room waiting for that experience, and there the church, the New Testament church, is formed. And so we get quite an understanding from the scriptures the function of the body of Christ. And so on. And of course we believe through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the prophecy of Joel and many other prophecies, where there's the formal reign, where we see the early church moved in that formal in empowerment, and my goodness, much was done in that formal reign, and we're coming towards the latter reign, and where we're going to see the outpouring again, and we believe the greater works, with the church being restored and being brought back after centuries of her in many ways in the wilderness, having lost much of her power, and so on. We're seeing a restoration now of the church being brought back, believers being brought back, not in a denominational form, but under the headship and lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ, and with the gifts of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor and teacher being restored. All of this is happening before our very eyes. But the question we're going to raise this evening is, will we let the Holy Spirit build Christ's body through us? Because that is ultimately what he does. And if you've still got an upright body as some organization or a building at the end of the road or a denomination, you are never going to understand, you are never going to fully experience the master builder building through you and each one of us who's listening to this, who desire to go all the way. You are his workmanship. He is building, working through you. That is why every member that is set into the body is vital. And those who are least, or appear to be least, in the body of Christ are even of greater value. Why is this so valuable? Because he is building through you and me and all of us. That's why it is so important, brothers and sisters. And this is to be an experience. This is something that if you are part of Full Gospel Assembly, you should be saying amen. Then you need to get before God and find out where it's going wrong. And we hope that if some are maybe getting left behind, then after these teachings you will begin to experience. Because if you're open to this, and anything is not right in us, this, the word that we receive, it compels you to go before God and talk it out and find out what may be going wrong, or why I'm not experiencing this, or praying more, or whatever it is. This is why these teachings are all so important, because they're so designed by the Spirit to make us go before God. You see? That's how you grow. That's how we all grow. We won't grow otherwise. What's the point of listening to it if it's not going to do anything? It's not going to produce anything. You see? And of course, I know we go through seasons, but this is a season now where God's challenging us in this area. So I want to really base our teaching from Ephesians chapter 1. I will be looking over the course of the next few weeks in Ephesians. We will be looking, darting around in all of it. But I want us to just base today, as we introduce this teaching, from the book of Ephesians chapter 1. And I want to open up with verses 15 to 23 of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So he's starting to open up that it's important that he gives us a revelation, a knowledge, an understanding in him. Because the apostle is going to open up deeper, and it's all really about the bride of Christ. It's all about the mystery being unveiled, the body, the function, what it's about, what it's for, its purpose. It's so that the Holy Spirit reveals God, Jesus, to us in our midst. This is why he said, where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst of you. He's unveiling his Son to us. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So he wants our eyes opened. He wants us to see that we have been given an inheritance. And that inheritance is given to us through the body of Christ. And it's found in him. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. So there's an empowerment that he wants us to experience through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's a power that is working right now. There's a power that preserves and keeps each one of us so that this body can function. And it's not just something that we read about, it's to be experienced. This is why I make much about the fact that this is a miracle. How we still come together after all these years. What is it that brings us together when in the natural this shouldn't work? It's that power that he wants us to know that is found. And you can only know that power by our coming together. You won't know it otherwise. You see, and that's the whole point. This is why it's to be experienced. And this is why I don't understand Christians who say, oh, I can follow the Lord and I can walk with God and I can experience him on my own. You can't fully. Yeah. It has to be believers coming together for these greater truths and experiences that are to be found in the Godhead, ministered to us by the Holy Spirit, which he works in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the Father in heavenly places, far above all principality, power, and might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in also in that which is to come. So, again, he wants us to know where we are seated. He wants us to know that we're way far above. We are already with him seated in heavenly places. And he's revealing that. That is becoming more and more of a reality and experience. And no greater way do you experience that than, of course, through the power of prayer and intercession. When we know that we're rising up, we're dealing with those powers, those principalities. We are dividing Satan's hold. Our prayers, our gathering together, is weakening his hold over planet Earth.
Yes, amen.
And that has to become a reality. That has to be ministered to us. It's not just words, it is a reality. And he has to do that through the body of Christ. Through an army of believers. And he put all things under his feet and gave him all in all. And that's why I've used this title, Will We Let the Holy Spirit Build Christ's Body Through Us, for the purpose that we may experience the fullness of him who fills all in all. It is so that he may fill himself through us. Through our gathering together, the body of Christ coming together, that his fullness may be. How do we see his fullness? We see his fullness by the gifts that he's placed in the church. We see his fullness by the fruit of the Spirit that he's working in our lives. We see his fullness by our faith, by our believing, by our coming together. That is his fullness seen. So he's never purposed that his fullness would be seen through one person. But it is through a group of believers. That's how he's purposed it. Never through just one person or one minister or whatever it is. It is ultimately, finally, to be seen through the body of Christ, through believers, set together, baptized into the body of Christ. So I want to look firstly at three areas. We need to be reminded and brought back to some things as to how this is being accomplished. We're also going to look at what has been happening to you, each one of us, over the years. And sometimes it's good to look back and just reflect on what has just is going on, why he's done what he's done, and so forth. And firstly, we need to be reminded why we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because it's not merely an anointing from heaven to speak in tongues, the size of the gifts, all of which have its place, we know. But we have to know that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is baptizing us so that we may not only have a revelation, but an experience and an understanding that he has set the doorway into the fullness of God. And that, of course, is the doorway into the kingdom. That we enter into the deeper life of the Spirit so that we experience this fullness that we've just spoken about in verse 23. That's ultimately what the church is about. Not just for one or two, but for the whole body to enter into this fullness, and it can only be achieved and done through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's why you're baptized in the Spirit, empowered for this. It's a fullness that must be seen in Christ's body. This is absolutely essential. And I remind you of this in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 19. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 19. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up things unto him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every joint supplying according to the effective working of, by which every part does share, causing growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. That is what it's doing. That's what it's about. So that we are growing. It speaks of this maturity. So that we're no longer carried about. We're no longer getting upset when we hear a wrong doctrine or something goes on or whatever it is. We're so grounded. We're rooted. We can just hang on. Because the devil uses this. And as I've said so many times, there's so many Christians. They're roaming around. They're confused. They don't know where to be. They don't know where they should be. They don't know who they're listening to or who they should be listening to. Praise God, we've got delivered of all of that. This is Ephesians chapter 3, 4, verse 14.
Did you give
14.
The right scripture?
I'm sorry. It sounded good to me while I was reading.
Yes.
Yes, sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. I looked at the wrong one. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 to 19. I'm so sorry. 14 to 19. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might, through that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love. And that's the purpose of it. That again, we're grounded, we're rooted, so that we're, as I read just earlier, we're not carried around by every wind and doctrine, like so many are. They're going from this church to that church, this minister, that preacher. Absolutely. It just creates more and more confusion. not experiencing the fullness of God, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, depth, height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. In other words, that you start to grow up and realize God is bigger than you and your problems. Because babes can only see their problems, and they can only see God big and as big as themselves. Well, look how he's been delivering us from that. How he's showing us his greatness, his vastness. That, you know, it's just mind-blowing. But you have to mature and grow into that. And that, of course, is what ministers the fear of God. That's the beginning of wisdom. Also, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. All of that is to be experienced and can only be done so through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, entering, empowered to move into the fullness of the Spirit or the fullness of God. In other words, experiencing Christ in you, the hope of glory. Ephesians 4, chapter 4. 11 to 13. Ephesians 4, 11 to 13. And he himself gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith. That's why we have much about faith and taught on faith, so that it brings us into a true unity. And how is he achieving this? Simplifying everything, taking all the complication away from it, so we're just like children, just believe. As he said on Sunday, just come. I said, come before me. That's the word. Till we all come to the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, we're coming into a realization of who lives in and through us. For it's no longer I that lives, but Christ who lives in me. We are coming into a knowledge and understanding that in my weakness I am made strong. Strength doesn't lie in me. That's what we're coming into, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind and trickery of men to the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ. And so it goes on, how the body is fit together in all of that. Well, that's what he's doing. And the question we're answering tonight, will we let the Holy Spirit build Christ's body through us? Will we let him build all of that we're talking about, that the apostle wrote there? Will we let him do that through us, that it is also our experience? It's only you that can decide that. And secondly, looking at this, the baptism is for gifts to be restored, to feed and encourage our faith. In other words, that lives might be touched. That's what he's restoring. So he's restoring all the gifts to the body of Christ, to equip us, to enable us to be touched by God. And this is why it is so important for each of us to see where we are in the body of Christ, what Christ has for me, so that I can minister, I can be a vessel that's open to be used for the Holy Spirit to edify, to build, to touch, to do whatever God wants to do in the body. We tend to think here in Full Gospel Assembly that God, whatever he wants to do, will do it through the pastor. He will not. There are other gifts, there are other ministries where he will do that work. He cannot do it through one man. And to assume or think that is idolatrous in thinking. And we get to and verse 37 and 38 of John 7, verse 37 and 38. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried and saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." And what is the key to that? It is those who thirst. Are you going to allow the Holy Spirit to make you desperate? It's whether you want to or not. Because we live in the Western world in a time of complacency. We've got everything. We've got everything at our disposal and so on. Are we going to let that affect us? Or are we going to say, yes, I live in prosperity at the moment. Yes, I am blessed, but I'm not going to look to that. I want to thirst spiritually. I want more and more. And whatever it takes, do it, Lord. That is for the asking. They're the right things to ask for. But we so often ask amiss, don't we? But that is what he's doing. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is for the gifts to be restored, to feed and encourage our faith. So it requires some gifts in order to fulfill and complete our faith. A faith to believe. A faith to embrace and hold on. And yes, for the greater works. It could just be that we're not in the place of faith, believing for some things yet, because there are other gifts yet that are not manifesting and ministering to help with that faith, which is a gift. That's why we're not always seeing what we're wanting to see. See, it gives itself away. No one man can do that job. God's not designed it to be that way. So will you let the Holy Spirit build Christ's body through you? That's the question we're raising today. And that's why, you know, we make ourselves available. And thirdly in this, empowerment, that is, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is an empowerment for the bride to make herself ready. And the first fruits presented on the altar. So that's its fulfillment. You see, the working of God is doing with all of us, he's doing fundamentally to get us to yield. This is only going to come by yielding. It isn't going to come by your efforts, you trying, or trying to better yourself. It is coming by the asking, and as we ask and believe he starts to do that work, then we don't fight the Holy Spirit, we simply yield over that he might work it through us. And this characterizes Jesus' life and walk. That's how he walked. That's how we learn this in John chapter 8 and verses 28 to 29. John chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. Then Jesus said to them, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but that my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him." He spoke these words, and many believed on him. Why did they believe on him? Because of just what he said. They believed because he said, "I don't do any of these things myself. I do that which is revealed. I speak that which is given to me." And look what it says that followed. Many then believed. He wasn't trying to puff himself up. He wasn't trying to give his testimony. He was revealing how he walked before God. And it was so powerful, it was such a witness that many believed as a result. Is that how God is going to add to the church in these last days? When we lives are like that, that they're seeing who is in us, who speaks to us, who leads us, who guides us, and so on. That's where the power lies, and that's what will save souls. It's all there in the scriptures. It's not rocket science, brothers and sisters. And that's why God can only use us to the extent that we are willing to yield. And that's why we get such stories of the parable of the sower. It's interesting that in the parable of the sower, one that is sown into the hard ground, which couldn't yield seed that's sown into it, is classifies that believer, or that person who's not willing to yield to the Holy Spirit. Gives itself away. Hence there's no fruit. Nothing comes forward. Nothing is seen. So what does God require in this yielding? Well, he requires of us, which we know is just the absence of resistance. It's not fighting. So he's going to work. And now, this is what our experience is, and I'm going to give it out. And if you are walking with the Lord, then you're going to say amen to this, because you know this is what God is working with you. This is your experience of yielding. And it is a yielding in your thought realm. It's a yielding in word. In other words, what comes out of your mouth, your desires. All of this, the Holy Spirit is working you in you, that this is brought under the divine control of the Holy Spirit. I know. Now I can either resist that, or I can yield over to that. And you say to me, "Oh, but Pastor, it's not easy to yield." Well, if you're having trouble yielding, you just cry out to God and say, "Father, please, whatever this takes, you're working this area, I want to yield, help me. Help thou my unbelief." God won't turn his ears to that. He'll work it. You see, this isn't impossible. I'll tell you why it's not impossible, because it's not you that can do it. It's the life of Christ in you that can do it. Philippians 2, verse 13. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. "For it is God who works in you both to will and do for his good pleasure." That's how he does. Spirit. We don't have to go and look for scriptures on there. How do we know? Because it's our experience. It's what God is doing with me. And that's why to yield is an attitude of heart. It's a state of mind. And that's why Jeremiah says, I will change these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. I will put a new spirit within you. I'll revive you. I'll put that affection in you to yield. So he even has to do that. How can we lose in this? You think, you know, we have everything to gain. And yielding to the Spirit, brothers and sisters, is not good works. It's not doing lots of things. It's simply not resisting the Holy Spirit. Not resisting those trials when times hotter. It's as he's working, where it's either choosing the arm of the flesh or choosing the promises of God. But it takes time to yield to that. And you see, some have stepped out, I've got to stand on the promises of God. But the problem was the yielding, the affection for that hasn't been worked yet. That's what he's working right now. That's the ultimate of our faith. But woe is you if you step out where the affection and faith and desire is not yet there yet. Don't do it. Yet at the same time, we are to exercise our faith. And sometimes we won't know unless we step out in faith whether that yielding, that affection is there. But God is still in control in all of that. That's the whole point. You see, yielding is at times a time of humbling us. It's giving over to God things we still hold on to. That's yielding. And we've still got areas we're still holding on to. But as we stay with it, he's going to work. And we can offer it up. We can give it up. And we can just yield them, and he can start to remove that affection, that hold, that desire that we still have. And there's still areas. He's still working on that. And thank God that he is. Why is he doing all of this? So that he can build his body through me, through you, each of us. That his fullness may be seen. Because that is what is to be seen in the world in the last days, his fullness. I'm sorry, but the fullness of God is not seen in a lot of Christendom at the moment. Far from it. You're seeing more of man's ministry, what he's up to, what he's doing, what he's trying to achieve and build. That's why God has separated us and said, come out from among them and be separate. Touch not the unclean thing. They're unclean, a lot of this stuff, sadly. You can't enter into his fullness in all of that. And yet some still try. Some go back thinking that you put new wine into old wineskins, and you cannot. But you see, our yielding, a lot of it's worked through our trials and the tests that we go through. That's how he's working it, brothers and sisters. Yielding is a passive state, and it's not striving. It's passive in nature. It's simply allowing him to work that in me. So that when things happen, or whatever it is, don't run away. Don't put barriers up, but just, Lord, yes, this hurts, Father. Yes, I wasn't thinking, it's taken me by surprise, but it hasn't taken you by surprise. But Lord, you're teaching me to yield through this. And the Holy Spirit, who has baptized me, will teach me and equip me how this can be done. Isn't it wonderful? That's why Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. It takes all works, all striving out of all of this. And that's why we willingly surrender our will. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Don't pray that prayer if you've not surrendered your will. And yet many pray it, don't they? And they haven't a clue what it means to surrender the will, to present yourself as a sacrifice, Romans 12, 1 and 2, which we know. And this, of course, is exactly what happened to Adam. He surrendered his will and became enslaved. Israel was rejected on that same basis. Don't let that happen to Full Gospel Assembly. We know this. Let's just turn to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1. Verse 2. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 2. Hear, O heavens, give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. That's what he says. It opens up there. They've rebelled against me. They don't want to do my will. They want their own. They want to do their own thing. Let's look in chapter 2, verses 19 to 20 of Isaiah. Chapter 2, 19 and 20. If you are willing, and obedient by. And sadly that happened. He's giving them an ultimatum. That's Isaiah. Oh, sorry. Again, it sounded pretty good to me. No, it's still of the same. Sorry, Isaiah chapter 1, 19 and 20. Isaiah 1, not Isaiah chapter 2, I'm sorry. Isaiah chapter 1, 19 and 20. Come, well, the verse before, verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land, but if you refuse, be devoured by the sword. They willed not to do it. And to will not to do it means that God has been working with you, but it's got to such a point that the heart has become hardened and hardened until they get to a point, I'm not going to do it. That's serious. It's frightening. And that's what happened to the children of Israel. That is why we keep with this word. We keep with these meetings. So that God's working that softness in our hearts. So that we can yield over to his will. So that he does it in and through us. And not only that, but he blesses us. Mm. Keeps us. Preserves us. Amen. Keeps all sickness at bay, all poverty at bay. We experience the blessings of the promised land. It's not rocket science. It's a willingness to surrender our selfish will. That self-expression, what I want to do. And he's working that with each one of us, brothers and sisters. Believe me. And as we develop this, it becomes more and more of an affection of the heart. So the more we're willing to the Lord, the more we ask him to do it, the more he's going to put affection in that heart for more and more and more until he gets that obedience out of us. It's like a spiritual appetite. You want more, you see? And what does it do? It causes us to grow up. It causes us to become responsible, to become sons and daughters of the living God. That's what it does, as we're hungering for more and more. For those who hunger, they shall be filled with what? His fullness. And finally, scripture we know very, very well, but I think very fitting to finish off this teaching for this evening in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Verses 5 to 9. Philippians chapter 2, 5 to 9. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So all that was working in him, all the affections working in him, his love, his obedience, his desire for his Father, he says, let this be in you. So it means it can be in you and will be in you. And he goes on, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him, and given him the name which is above every name, that at every name Jesus every knee shall bow, and every tongue in heaven shall confess, and on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ. Is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And that he is now before him. Why are we going to adore him, worship him and everything? Because it was him through us doing it. Through me and you. He built his church through me, through us, bringing us into his fullness. Heavenly Father, the question that you are presenting to us and all those that love you and want to walk with you, will we let the Holy Spirit build Christ's body through us? Father, I pray that none of us will hinder this, that every one of us, Lord, will just believe that you can and you will do it through each one of us. And so, Lord, we thank you today. It's not by might nor by power, it is by your Spirit, says the Lord. And Father, we thank you for the baptism of the Holy Spirit that is bringing us into the fullness, that experience. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll be with us, bless us, preserve us, and keep us all till we assemble again in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen and amen.